This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. There was a certain undeniable irony when members of The Who sang My Generation well into their middle age years, a song that included the line, I hope I die before I get old. The truth is that today's millennials, like generations in the past, bristle at characterizations of them made by their elders. But in rural states like Vermont, young people are lamented not for how they act, but because not enough of them choose to live here or opt to move somewhere else if they were born in state. That, at any rate, is the perception. We'll be taking a look at some data that shows the young brain drain isn't perhaps as bad as it appears. But we'll also spend time on today's program speaking with young people themselves who have chosen to put down roots in Vermont and have left some big metropolitan cities to do so, to find out why, and to ask them what Vermont is doing right and needs to do better to make sure young people don't reject the Green Mountains for what they think may be greener pastures elsewhere. Joining us from Rutland today is Heather Robertson, a board member for the group Rutland Young Professionals, who moved to Vermont from Los Angeles, and she'll be chairing this Saturday's Young Professionals Summit of Vermont. Heather, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Alex Beck, who moved to Vermont from Boston and settled in Brattleboro. He's the coordinator of the Southern Vermont Young Professionals and is a workforce specialist at Brattleboro Development Corporation. Alex, great to have you with us today as well.
It's great to be here.
And we hope to hear from you. Are you part of the millennial generation struggling with whether or not to stay in Vermont? Do you feel there are enough opportunities here to do so? What would you like to see the state do to provide incentives to keep young people in Vermont? You can join this conversation by calling us at 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a comment or question to our VPR Facebook page. And Heather Robertson, I'd like to start with you. Tell us first how old you are and why you decided to move to a small rural state like Vermont from the sprawling and glamorous city of Los Angeles.
I am 30 years old, and I moved here in 2014 with my partner, who accepted a job at Castleton University. And for us, we were just ready for a change, and we were always interested in living in New England. And when we came to Vermont, we just really fell in love with northern New England specifically and wanted to live here.
Was there any culture shock or a big adjustment period for both of you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that when you live in a place like Los Angeles, sometimes you entertain fantasies of going and living on a farm somewhere. But then when you actually move to a rural place, you kind of have to face some realities, such as, you know, lack of cell service or poor internet connections. So that was a challenge for us.
What about sort of the culture, though, the people? I mean, Los Angeles, I can't think of a place more different than Vermont. Was that a good adjustment for you? Did you find the people here to be a little reluctant to talk to you at first, or were they instantly friendly? How did that go?
Everyone's been friendly to me since I've been here. Certainly, there are different cultures in Vermont versus in other parts of the country, and it's adjusting to how people live here. But I mean, I haven't encountered anything that's been uncomfortable.
And you're a board member of the Rutland Young Professionals. Tell us about that organization. What do you do?
Yeah, so the Rutland Young Professionals is an all-volunteer-run organization. We are 3 years old. We were started in 2013 by just a couple of our members here in Rutland who wanted an opportunity to engage with the community, make Rutland a place that attracts and retains young professionals, and create social and networking opportunities for young people in Rutland.
No, go right ahead, please.
And since then, we've been holding monthly mixes that are open to the public, that anyone can go and meet each other and network. We've also offered professional development opportunities. And we have a new program called Let's Dish, where we're working with local employers to help show potential candidates around Rutland and answer any questions that they have about being a young person here.
Alex Beck, you were based quite a bit closer to Vermont than Heather was, and you and I have something in common, that we both moved here from Boston. Why did you decide to relocate to Vermont?
So I actually came to attend SIT Graduate Institute in Brattleboro to pursue my master's in international development.
And how old are you, Alex?
I'm 27.
Now, being in Brattleboro, you're really not that far from your old stomping grounds of Boston. Do you find yourself traveling back much to Beantown to see old friends or, you know, catch a Red Sox game? I'm assuming you're a Red Sox fan. If you're not, I'll just spend the rest of the show talking to Heather.
No comment about the Red Sox, especially given the most recent, falling. So, you know, I actually don't go to Boston as much as I'd like. My experience is a lot of the friends I grew up with, they also felt the need to go somewhere else. Another thing I'll be talking about soon, I'm sure, is what investment in the community looks like. And when so much is happening in our communities to go to Boston every other weekend, I wouldn't be able to do what I do here now.
Yeah, that kind of answers my next question. If you have enough to do here professionally and personally to keep you busy, to keep you in Brattleboro and having plenty to do all the time, you can't get back there that much.
Yeah, I mean, if you have any more hours in the day to give me, I'd love to have them. But at this point, I'm busy doing everything I'm doing.
It's a good problem to have. I mentioned in the introduction that there is this perception of Vermont suffering from a young person exodus. In fact, though, state labor department statistics show there was about a 56% rate of young people leaving Vermont in the 18 to 34 age demographic. That was between 2006 and 2014. But over the same time period and in that same age demographic, there was an estimated 57% influx of people coming to the state. So it's actually kind of a wash. Do you think for Vermont to really grow and thrive, that needle needs to move from neutral territory into that much more positive side of more young people coming in? Heather, your thoughts first.
Sure. Obviously, I think Vermont could benefit from growing in terms of population, but I don't think young people leaving is necessarily a problem. I think it's great for young people to go out in the world and explore their horizons and then come back to Vermont and share what they've learned. I mean, ultimately, Vermont is a phenomenal place to live. The quality of living is just unparalleled. I think a lot of people like living in Vermont, but it's okay to go explore the rest of the world as well.
We've got a whole slew of emails to answer and some calls coming in. Let's go to Liam in West Rutland. Hi, Liam. You're on Vermont Edition.
Hi there.
And what's your question?
My question is, as someone coming into the state, how do you think it's proper to say that all the people here should be staying in, because we just got the statistics about that pretty even flow of people coming in and out? I guess it's more of just a comment of that. I think it's better that we have an older generation in Vermont. Historically, we just have a really good spot. So I don't think there's any wrong here, that it's not a young state.
So you think it's okay that there's a pretty good, balance maybe of older and younger folks here?
Yeah, I think it keeps everything reserved. There's a lot of history here, and I think the older people like that about the state, and they want to preserve that.
Liam, thank you very much for the call. Alex, I think you wanted to respond to that.
Yeah, no. There's two different things I'd like to unpack about that. But the first thing I'd like to really approach is what our young professionals, it isn't actually just a social club. It's a workforce development program. And I think that while I absolutely agree that what the current demographic in Vermont brings to our culture and community is really incredible. You know, that historical knowledge and the depth of understanding of where we are in place is invaluable. But the reality is there are more jobs than people in Vermont right now. And for every person who retires, that's one more job going unfilled. That's one more vacancy in a business, and that might be one more little reason that business doesn't expand or grow. And so that is something, you know, the economic argument for attracting more young people is really that we're running out of employees, we're running out of workers, and our businesses are truly struggling with who is going to, you know, start at my company next, who's going to be the next manager, and even business owners. It's starting to be a problem that you know, business owners who have owned the same business for 40 years who are ready to retire, they're concerned about the legacy of that business. If there are no young people to pick up, you know, that country store or that bookstore or that community institution that's always been there, they'll shut it down just because they're retiring and there's no one else to pick up the charge from there.
Alex, I am curious, though, and I'd like to put this question out to you too, Heather. What about, though, you hear about the jobs are here in Vermont, but aren't most of them in Chittenden County? Isn't it more difficult if you want to move to a more rural part of the state?
I don't think so. I think that what's really important to look at is what kinds of jobs there are. And the expectation of why people can relocate and how that works. In terms of advanced manufacturing jobs, precision manufacturing, healthcare, in southern Vermont, there are jobs abound. And so if you are coming with a certain expectation of what the labor market is and it's an incorrect expectation, yeah, you'll be disappointed. And you might say, oh, it's because there's no jobs here.
And Heather, what about you in Rutland? What are the Rutland young professionals saying about job opportunities in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, they're certainly out there. And, you know, I think another issue is sometimes just communication. Older professionals might be used to putting job opportunities in the newspaper, and young professionals are not necessarily looking there. So sometimes there can be a disconnect and a little bit of a generation gap that we need to bridge in order to put workers with employers.
Brian is on the line from Jeffersonville. Hi, Brian.
Call.
Sure.
I just was wondering about your statistics. My one question is, how many of those people moving to Vermont originally were born here? Because I feel like, when we're young, you go out into the world, and people that were raised here in Vermont, maybe they want to see what the rest of it is. But I would bet many of them see what other places are like in our country and return here. Because I really feel the value of what we have in the state is way, way great. And I think that if we just keep doing what we're doing and make it a kind and proper place to live, I think we will attract the kind of people that we want to live here.
Brian, thank you very much for the call. Heather, I think that reflects what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for Vermont to preserve its traditions and its way of life. I mean, that's what's attractive about Vermont. But at the same time, it's important to keep moving forward and to be open to trying new things and continually evolving.
We're talking about young folks in Vermont, moving to Vermont, moving out of Vermont, and the opportunities for them here. And we want you to join the conversation. Are you a so-called millennial who's struggling with that clash question, i.e., should I stay or should I go? A reference that reveals that I am not among the 18 to 34 age demographic. Are you hopeful that Vermont can provide what you need to put down roots here or to come back after you've explored other parts of the country or world? Call us at 800-639-2211 or post your comment to the Vermont Edition Facebook page. I want to ask before we go to a break about the Young Professionals Summit of Vermont that's happening in Rutland this weekend. What is the purpose of that summit? And Heather, why don't we start with you on that?
Yeah, there are a couple purposes. One of the main ones is that this is an opportunity for young people from around the state to get together and meet each other and network, because I think when we come together and start exchanging ideas, that's really where the magic happens. In addition, we're going to be brainstorming around specific challenges and issues that are faced by young professionals, and we're going to have a professional development session where young people can gain some new skills that are relevant specifically to Vermonters.
Alex, what are you hoping comes out of that summit?
Well, so I'll be leading a panel on something that I'm calling civic placemaking. And what that really is how do we build the communities that we want? How can young professionals find a way to be engaged in their communities in a way that can help them shape those communities and so that what they need as young professionals, they can receive, and that as a community, they can grow and be a place that's welcoming and open.
Lots more to get to, your phone calls, emails, and more. This is Vermont Edition, right back after a break. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb, and today we are addressing the opportunities and incentives for young people to settle in Vermont. What could be done to keep the younger generation that grew up here from moving away or at least coming back? And we're speaking today with Heather Robertson, board member of the Rutland Young Professionals, and Alex Beck, coordinator of the Southern Vermont Young Professionals, about those opportunities. You can join us by calling 800-639-2211 or post your comment to the Vermont Edition Facebook page. And guys, I'd like to read this email that we got from Bill, who says, government needs to do what it does best, and that's build infrastructure. High-speed passenger service from Montreal to Boston would do more to keep young people here than the current system of tax incentives for individual companies. Connect this rural state to its urban neighbors in a 21st century way. What do you think about that? Is that something that we need more of here? Transportation, infrastructure, building all that stuff up? Alex, what do you think?
Absolutely. So I think transportation-wise, when I first graduated SIT, I actually was working in a startup up in Rutland. It didn't really end up starting up, but the hour and 45 minutes-ish that it took for me to drive there or get there, I didn't have any cell phone service. So that was an hour and 45 minutes where I could have been talking with my business partner, I could have been making other calls, but instead it was a complete sink of time. So not only was there a faster way for me to get to Rutland from Brattleboro, you have to go, you can pick any way, but there's no direct route. You can't get there from here, as they say. but also because of the lack of cell phone service, my ability to engage during that time was also really limited. So I couldn't agree more.
Let's go to the phones again. Paul is on the line from Manchester, New Hampshire. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining the discussion.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to offer a perspective that I work for a company in southern Vermont, and I had done that for about 2 years, but I chose to leave the state because I was offered more in Manchester, New Hampshire at a quality of life, so I still telecommute for that same company every day, and it's ironic that I have a better quality of life being all alone in my own office for 40 hours a week than I did when I was around my coworkers. It's really once you punch out of the clock and walk outside the cubicle that I don't think Vermont does a good job providing to young professionals.
Paul, what is it about Manchester that you like better than Vermont when it comes to quality of life?
Manchester offers, I guess, more of a scene of Burlington. It's got two semi-professional teams that play sports in the area. It's got a wide range of restaurants and bars, nightlife, entertainment. I hear people say, you can come to Vermont and go on a hike. But the reality is we have a long winter, and there isn't a lot of young people in Vermont, and it just wasn't worth it for me to stay in Vermont when I had a lower quality of life outside of the office.
Paul, thank you very much for the call. Heather, that kind of story that Paul's telling there, is that the sort of thing that you hear from people who come to the young Rutland professionals and have some complaints about the state?
Certainly. I think that sometimes people don't know what's going on that they can be a part of. And so the Rutland Young Professionals tries to be that opportunity for them to meet other like-minded folks and plan activities together and get out and do things. I am also a remote worker. I work from home, and my entire company is distributed across the country. So for me, I completely agree. I can choose wherever I want to live and still work my job. And I choose Vermont because I do like the quality of life. So, it's certainly a matter of preference as well.
Let's go to where you're based, Heather. Julia is on the line from Rutland. Hi, Julia.
Hi there. Oh, we've got a garbage truck pulling in. I'll do my best here.
It's always the way, isn't it?
I am a Vermont native that returned in 2002. And my overall sense when I returned was I'd sort of lost my place in line. So, I've been living on the gig economy ever since. But one thing that, I really appreciate being here again is the multi-generational culture within Vermont. And I'm very encouraged to hear, especially earlier in your show, a caller referring to that. What concerns me immediately, though, is the potential for age discrimination. That is, you're targeting the 18 to 34-year-old range.
Mm-hmm.
And when you target a range like that, you're setting up basically a red flag that you know, says to landlords and employers, hey, we want to hire the people within that age range. So all of a sudden, you're running into a real potential for age discrimination in housing and employment. And I'm just concerned about that because, obviously, people moving here have to find a place to live, and hopefully they're going to move into jobs. But if those jobs and that housing is targeted to that young professional class, that's age discrimination.
Hmm.
And I'd like to know what the young professionals are, Rutland young professionals, maybe might want to do to try to address that.
Okay,
somehow.
let's see if Heather can answer that question. Julia, thank you very much for the call. Heather, go ahead.
Sure. So that 18 to 34-year-old age range that was mentioned earlier, that is specifically just what are considered to be millennials. The Rutland Young Professionals does not have an age cap. Our mixes are open to the public, and our members are in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s. So we are definitely open to all sorts of professionals in their early and mid-careers. So we're definitely not trying to get special treatment for young people. I think we're also trying to address the same challenges that everyone in Rutland and the state of Vermont face. You know, these are things that we all want solutions to, and we're just coming at it with our specific perceptions.
One of the things that Julia mentioned was the cost of housing, and we got this email from Anna in Burlington who says, as a millennial myself, I sympathize with financial struggles, being able to stay in Vermont after college graduation. Currently, the cost of living in Burlington and surrounding areas is far too high for millennials. Most one-bedroom apartments start at $1,000 per month, not including utilities. What do you believe is an affordable price for housing in the Burlington area? For example, I believe $500 monthly rent, not including utilities, is affordable for a recent college graduate. Alex, I realize you're not in the Burlington area, but is this a problem in Brattleboro as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I in addition to my work at the BDCC, I sit on the board of the Windham Windsor Housing Trust. So I'm both involved in affordable housing projects, as well as thinking about what else is going on in the housing market that is really affecting what's going on. And to be honest, it's tough. You know, one of the phrases that I really like to use is appropriate housing, to make sure that everyone, regardless of where they are in their lives, socioeconomically, there's an appropriate housing solution for them. Most young professionals, when they first move to Southern Vermont at least, their wages already qualify them for affordable housing. But as they progress in their careers, is there room for them and other people to move up out of those places? That, you know, in Brattleboro especially, we have significant downward pressure on the market. You know, I could probably afford a slightly better apartment, but that one doesn't actually exist. And so I'm right now in a housing situation that someone else who's coming up should be able to access. And to be completely honest, referring to the caller before, I've seen more investment in housing for people in the aging population than anyone looking to address workforce or appropriate housing solutions. So, you know, while no one should be treated any better or worse than the other, I think that Vermont still has a long way to go in recognizing millennials as a group worthy of investment and worthy of care and attention.
Well, I have to imagine this is going to be an issue that comes up at the Young Professionals Summit of Vermont in Rutland this weekend, because there's going to be a high number of high-ranking state politicians there, including Vermont's Democratic and Republican gubernatorial candidates Sue Minter and Phil Scott. Heather, what do you think young people will be wanting to hear from them?
I think the most important part of our afternoon panel, which will feature a range of policymakers, is just allowing our attendees to sort of get a glimpse at the process and feel heard, and connecting people with those who represent them.
Yeah, and I just want to jump in and
sure.
Say, you know, I think it should be less about what young professionals want to hear and more about what our elected officials are willing to listen to. because, you know, there are so many young professionals in economic development. And I always question, as our politicians go around the state and say, we need to do better economically for young professionals, how many of us have they called and picked up the phone and talked to? So, you know, again, there's no surprise that Barack Obama goes to South by Southwest. You know, he's going to where the young people are to listen and to engage rather than having the expectation of young people coming and asking and begging for solutions when they're not represented proportionally within the governance systems.
Eli is with us on the line from Burlington. Hello, Eli.
Hi. Hi. Thank you all for having me. It's a great program. I've got a background, the Burlington Young Professionals Steering Committee way back when and starting a group in Boston. And I'm somebody who grew up here in Vermont, left for school, came back to work, went to Boston and came back again. So I really appreciate this topic. And I just want to add a few quick points. One, you know, I think that there are a lot of young professionals who are underrepresented in this conversation because they don't necessarily wear shirts and ties to work. And I think especially that's why the work that Alex does and others is so important to try to bring some of these opportunities where there are skills gaps to people. And I want to suggest the service industry is a great one where there's a lot of Vermonters who are millennials working at resorts, working at restaurants. And that's a place where I could see some growth. Quickly, you know, one more, it's the same thing in the nonprofit sector. Nonprofits in Vermont are small and it's tough to go from your entry-level position up to executive director in a certain amount of time. And the final, most important point, cannabis legalization. This is something that 71% of millennials support. The economic activity that comes in other states is very real. And if you look at the young professionals who are flocking to Denver, Seattle, Portland, Oregon, not because they can get high there legally, but because they know these are the kind of places that have progressive mindsets that inspire creativity and welcome innovation.
Yeah, that's so, yet another.
On those points, I want to thank you all again.
Thank you, Eli. Yet another point that may be brought up at that summit happening on this Saturday. Heather, I want to put this question to you because we got this post from Kyle who says, I've attended Rutland Young Professional meetings, and they seem to be mostly a forum for the wealthy, white, and children of the wealthy to further bolster their influence within an already privileged realm while completely ignoring the real issues of the Rutland area like affordable housing and a lack of professional-based jobs in an area other than working at GE, which seems that you have a better chance of winning the lottery than getting a job there unless, of course, you are connected. So he's got some complaints about Rutland Young Professionals. Is that something you've encountered?
No. You know, I am certainly not a child of the wealthy, and I don't go to these mixes to increase my social standing. For me, Rutland Young Professionals was a way for me to get involved in my community. You know, I moved here not knowing anyone. I work from home. This was a way for me to make friends and meet people. And I think it serves that purpose for a lot of people. You know, there are definitely problems in the Rutland area. We have problems related to diversity and inclusion and poverty and all sorts of things. And the mixes, I think, are really a network opportunity for us to talk to each other and, you know, find ways that we can collaborate on these issues. But Rutland Young Professionals hasn't necessarily taken a stand on doing that work specifically.
I want to take another call. Vicki is on the line from Brattleboro. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard a caller comment on physical infrastructure in Vermont, and I just want to make a point about social infrastructure and particularly child care. Hmm. A lot of young professionals are not coming to Vermont or leaving Vermont because they want to have families, and it's so expensive to have a young child in Vermont and be a working parent. I'm wondering what you're thinking about that.
Alex, you want to take that one first?
Yeah, absolutely. First, I just want to give my appreciation to both Eli and Vicki. I know them personally, and I know who they are on the phone because they are engaged young people constantly advocating for the issues they care about. So first of all, thanks for that. And, you know, childcare is such a huge part of workforce development, ensuring parents can go to work and being confident and comfortable that their kids are being cared for. And, you know, cared for affordably as well. And it's something that we're struggling with. And you know, I see when a young, you know, members of our young professional group, when they have kids, they are selected out almost of our programming. And that's something we're really desperately trying to change. You know, whether it's partnering with local childcare organizations, so when we have an event, that there's a safe place for parents to leave their kids. But you know, overall, I would always encourage anyone to join the boards, join the steering committees, because you know I saw the way that the Rutland Young Professionals put together this summit, and I said, how do you do all this? How do you touch so many people? And they said, we have a board, and you know, people are welcome to join and bring what they want to see to the table. And so, yeah.
I'm going to give each of you the elevator pitch for the last word here. Heather, in 30 seconds or so, if you had to tell somebody why is Vermont a good place to settle down, what would you say?
I think it's really that you have the opportunity to see gaps where you can contribute and you can make a really big impact if you want to. People are enthusiastic and supportive, and you can get a lot of great things done.
Alex, in 30 seconds, why is Vermont the place to live?
You know, you can be a big fish in a small pond. And if you do want to be an agent of social change and you do want to be a part of your community and economy in any way, you know, professional is a stigmatized word. But whether you're an artist, a fireman, a machinist, it doesn't matter. If you want to be a part of your community, there is a space for you here. And there are generations of people who are welcoming you. So get engaged and find your place because it's here.
Alex Beck is coordinator of the Southern Vermont Young Professionals. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Heather Robertson, board member of the Rutland Young Professionals, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on Vermont Edition, we speak with U.S. candidate for Senate of the Liberty Union Party, Peter Diamondstone. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. All this week, we've been featuring interviews with the candidates running for U.S. Senate. Democratic incumbent Patrick Leahy and Republican challenger Scott Milne are on the ballot, as well as three other candidates. And today, we'll hear from Peter Diamondstone. He's the candidate for the Liberty Union Party, which he co-founded in 1970. Last week, he joined us from our studio in Brattleboro. He was accompanied by his wife, Doris Lake, whom you might hear in the background. I began by asking Diamondstone to explain the platform of the Liberty Union Party.
It's a socialist platform, and it's best summed up in its first sentence. It says, the wealth and resources of the planet should be used by government to provide a materially secure life for all the people on the planet, including socialized health care. And it everything else in the follows from that. But the last paragraph is about not fighting any war, refusing to kill or burn, no matter who orders us to. And in that regard, we should look at Leahy and Sanders, Shumlin, the Doobie brothers, and Welch as a community of interests in terms of bringing fighter bombers to Burlington. And Liberty Union has voted to brand all members of Congress who voted to provide the Zionist state in Palestine. The resolution was Israel, but I don't use that term. The Zionist state in Palestine in its war against the people of Gaza. All of them are war criminals. And we see that duplicated again in the bombing of hospitals by, while we bitch and moan about what the Russians are doing in Aleppo, we're doing the same thing all over the world.
Peter, when you say that war should never be an option, according to the platform, does that include, let's say, if the country is attacked, would you also not agree to war, you know, as a matter of self-defense?
This country is so well armed, there's nobody going to invade us. Let me spell that out for you. I want to close all our bases. I want a zero military budget. I want total, unilateral, nuclear and conventional weapon disarmament. And that's not really conventional. That's nuclear weapons, too, because the ammunition is made with uranium. and an embargo so that no weapons or ammunition can be shipped out of this country to anyone else. We can't sell it or any other get rid of it in any other way. What is produced, it has to stay here. We are not going to finance wars all over the world as we are doing now.
It sounds like this is one of the most important issues for you in this campaign. Is that fair to say?
I would say that's one of the most, yes.
Any others you feel very strongly about?
Oh, sure. You know, one of the things about capitalism is it urges us to expand production and make more and more crap. And I advocate a 20-hour work week for 40 hours pay. I want us to not produce so much, that we produce too much as it is.
I'd like to ask about the federal EB-5 visa program. It's been at the center of the alleged fraud case in the Northeast Kingdom. Now, Senator Patrick Leahy has said that the EB-5 program should not be renewed without further reform, and I'm wondering what your position on the program would be.
This is for people who are going to come in temporarily and work?
Well, it's a program that gives foreign investors a path to citizenship if they put a certain amount of money into investments in places like here in Vermont in the United States.
I'm talking about reducing production, and they're talking about increasing production. We need to produce less, not more. We just need to divide the work up differently with 20 hours of work for 40 hours pay.
What role should the United States play, if any, in the conflict in Syria?
We already are playing the role. We're the ones who started that war, by financing the revolutionaries as we did in Libya. It's the same story over again. We keep financing revolutions to overthrow the people we don't want, like Gaddafi and now what's his name in Syria. Unfortunately, we've run into a complication, which is that the Russians don't want him overthrown at this particular time.
You're talking about Assad?
Mm-hmm.
Domestically, President Obama nominated Judge Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court in March, but Senate Republicans, they've refused to take up that nomination, as I'm sure you know.
Yep.
Do you think Judge Garland's nomination should be voted on? And if so, do you think he should be approved to the Supreme Court?
Yes, I do believe he should be approved. And there's no reason not to approve it except the recalcitrance of the Republican majority. There's one other level that has to do with my libertarian views. I'm sure that some people don't realize I'm a libertarian. Libertarians stand for non-interference in the process of business and enterprise. And the biggest interference are three. First, patents. Second, copyrights. And third, the creation of corporations to protect business people from having to pay for their torts. And so I'm in favor of doing away with all of those. And if that seems to create a hardship for writers, inventors, musicians, creators of all kinds, it won't in a socialist society where we ask that each contribute according to ability and each take according to need. And in a socialist society, that's what it would be. What people need will be supplied to each other. And we expect in return that people will be creative to the best of their ability.
At the end of September, Congress passed a stopgap bill to fund the government through December, and that budget provided funding for things like fighting the Zika virus. It's been repeatedly delayed, though, after a lot of partisan disputes over funding for Planned Parenthood. I'm wondering, as a senator, how would you strike a balance between upholding ideological principles and making compromises that can help get necessary legislation
passed?
Well,
that's one I wouldn't make. Hmm. I would not abandon the funding of Planned Parenthood under any circumstances. That's one of the highest priorities I respect, is that one. And in that regard, we need to think about the population of the world and about the environment that we're going to live in. Is it going to be one that has freedom for people to make decisions about their own lives, or is it going to be one in which we have a compelling minority controlling things, and as we are now? And as far as I'm concerned, would not be a problem under a socialist state. And not only would we have community ownership of the drug manufacturers and the distribution, but we would have control over, we the people would have control over the development of other drugs, whether they're non-prescription or prescription, and even those non-prescriptions that are illegal, such as cocaine. And so I'm one of those people who favors the nationalization or the socialization of the drug industry at all levels and in all areas. And I have no problem with letting people get their drugs from hospitals, doctors, and pharmacies. And I think we need to allow that to happen, but it's got to be a socialist system, not a private enterprise. Right now we have private enterprise in illegal drugs.
What about stricter gun control laws? As a senator, would you push for those?
Well, there's the one area that's quite clear to me, which is background checks. And I do favor that. I am a Second Amendment person. The First Amendment is about freedom of expression, and that's derived from that part of the Declaration of Independence that says, we tried, we talked to them, we sent messengers, we sent envoys, and they wouldn't listen. And so the second part of it is, in the Declaration, well, therefore, we have the right and the obligation to take up arms in revolt. Well, so too, the Second Amendment is what protects our right to do that, but in a well-regulated militia. And I'm not talking about National Guard. I would do away with the National Guard, which is just an adjunct of the United States military. We need a militia that is a people's militia. And in spite of my nonviolent position, there may come a time where we have to take up arms in revolution.
And what about bans on particular types of weapons?
No, I think that whatever weapons the government has, the people should be able to have, except for atomic weapons, nuclear weapons, because there's international law that prohibits that. But if the government has a tank, we should have tanks. If the government has machine guns, we should have machine guns. But mind you, I said I want to totally disarm. So on the one hand, I'm saying we should be able to have what the government has, but let's hope that we can disarm our own government so that we can disarm ourselves.
Let's talk about seniority for a minute, because that makes a senator more powerful. And, of course, Patrick Leahy has been in the Senate a very, very long time.
So very long, 74.
He's got some power. Why should Vermonters reject Pat Leahy, who is the most senior member of the U.S. Senate now?
Well, I began saying he's a war criminal.
Serious charge, Mr. Diamondstone.
Well, the Liberty Union has devoted that by consensus, that any member of the Congress that has voted to replenish the arms used by the Zionist state against the people of Gaza, any one of them is a war criminal. And that comes from the principle that those who aid and abet are as guilty as the perpetrator. And so Leahy and Sanders are as guilty as the perpetrators of the attacks on Gaza.
You originally said this year that you would not run for office. You have struggled with some health problems, I understand. What made you decide to run again this year?
Well, I never run. I decided to be a candidate. You know, this is a job application. It's not a game. I decided to be a candidate because we didn't have a candidate for the U.S. Senate. And I didn't want to be a party without a candidate, particularly when we're talking about war criminals and when we're talking about bringing fighter bombers to Burlington. You know, you can't arm any more than that, can you?
What do you hope your candidacy accomplishes?
Sending me to Congress, sending me to the U.S. Senate. I hope that every time. That doesn't mean I'm disappointed if I don't get there. I'm here to do a job. And if the people want to hire me, I'm ready, willing, and able.
Peter Diamondstone is the Liberty Union candidate for the U.S. Senate, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's my pleasure.
And that's it for today. Tomorrow, our guest is David Zuckerman. He's both the progressive and Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. We'll discuss Zuckerman's priorities and the big issues of the race. That's live at noon tomorrow. And in 2 weeks, we'll begin our series of election debates. And we want your questions for the candidates. Go to vpr.net to submit your question in writing, or better yet, record your question on your smartphone and send it to Vermont Edition at vpr.net. Our series of 6 debates for state and federal offices begins later this month. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Sengary, Sam Gail Rosen, and Meg Malone. Mary Williams directed the program, and our executive producer is Patty Daniels. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Thank you so much for listening.